Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
66, been doing it for almost a decade now, so appreciate the blessing. Chuck Oliver Show rolls along on this Friday, and it's a fun Friday because we got just a, I'll use a Southern phrase, we got a mess of games tomorrow. Or, finger quote, mess of games tomorrow. We have players and students and fans and alums, like, folks, I don't know, seeing Chris Doering come out of the stands and catch a touchdown in the Florida spring game, or perhaps a seven-year-old who needs some inspiration, score a touchdown from Nebraska, that's something. That's kind of, and you get that. Folks, at Ole Miss and at Kentucky, I think there's going to be a little something for everybody. So, interactive games, on-field stuff. Mark Stoops may throw a scholarship at somebody, especially if you play defensive line. I don't know. They got a lot going on, and they have a new basketball coach. So much to talk about from Kentucky Sports Radio. Nick Roush. Nick, friend, welcome back. How you doing?
A little lacking on sleep. It's been a wild time in the Bluegrass. We don't get too many coaching searches around here, so it's been crazy in Kentucky.
All right, give me like a 0 to 10, anywhere on that scale. How much did the let's raise the $33 million and fire Calipari, did that ever really get off the ground?
It did. I think there was some real debate because boosters were motivated enough to make it happen. But ultimately, I don't think Mitch Barnhart wanted to be the guy who paid $33 million for a Hall of Fame head coach to go away. But it ended up working out for him. He ended up getting it out with this buyout. And so we got a shocking move of Calipari going to Arkansas. And we might have been as equally as shocked when we learned that Mark Pope would be his successor last night.
There you go. Just give me your flyover. And you can be fan. You can be media member who's observing. Just give me your take on what's ahead for Kentucky basketball.
Kind of like in a breakup, whenever you get the new girl's a lot different than the old one, right? And that's exactly what they're going to get with Mark Pope, where John Calipari could be a carnival barker who's this great recruiter but not necessarily an X's and O's guy. Pope is the opposite, where he's a X's and O's guy to a T, runs a lot of stuff, a lot of five out, direction, a lot of sets, a lot of plays. He's a little bit more reserved. He's kind of a goofy cornball, but he's also one of us who was the captain on the 1996 yep. National Championship team. So it's one of those where I initially you thought, wow, Mitch Barnhart is moving really quick to go with Mark Pope. You feel like you could have gotten Mark Pope whenever. Why didn't you call this guy? Why didn't you call Bruce Pearl or Chris Beard? Or why didn't you consider all these people? We were shocked last night that he went from waiting on a guy in Scott Drew who has a national championship on his resume to hiring a guy without an NCAA tournament win. But if you dig deeper, it's one of those where I've already started to convince myself that it's going to work. I know many will be skeptical, and I get it. But I'm ready to jump in all in head first and believe this thing will end up working for Mark Pope at Kentucky.
You know, Nick, one more thing about hoops real quick. I'm listening to you talk about Cal and maybe his approach to winning. I grew up a Georgia Tech fan and a guy named Bobby Crimmins. I don't know if you remember him. like, it was generally understood that his, quote, coaching was waving his arm and yelling at the point guard to hurry up. Like, that was but he could go get, like, a five-star out of New York City. And so, you know, I always kind of got skewed towards, yeah, give me the guy that can recruit, you know. All right, let's jump into football. All right, open the curtains. What are we going to see tomorrow? By the way, if you're live, I think the Kentucky Spring Function isn't even on one of the streamers tomorrow, is it?
No, it's not. And it was initially supposed to be. And then Mark Stoops said last week that his defense is decimated with injuries, so they're not going to have a scrimmage, and it's not going to be televised, which I actually think could end up being a good thing if you're one of the few who is able to attend in person. Because they'll probably show more, right? They don't want to put anything out there that their teams can see. So I do think with new offensive coordinator Butch Hamden, we'll get to see a little bit more of what his offense may actually end up looking like instead of the real vanilla saturated version that you usually get in these spring games. But I'd be lying if I didn't admit I was a little disappointed. I was out of practice last week. The injury situation is real. I think there were three guys where I was like, on their entire defense that will be starters this fall that are actually active. So I get not doing a full tackle scrimmage under those circumstances, but it's nevertheless a little disappointing that we're going to get a very, very limited view of what this team will look like in 2024.
Just give me then, because obviously there's a dynamic with the quarterback who got a new OC versus the guy that, you know, he signed with. Just give me your guess as to how this has gone the previous 14 sessions.
You know, it's one of those things where I think all is well. What puts Brock Vandegrift in a unique situation is that he has the pedigree, the tools to be maybe even the best quarterback that Stoops has had at Kentucky. But they're very, very hesitant to provide too much effusive praise, because that's what they spent all last offseason doing, right? And then Devin Leary didn't work out. So they're a little bit hesitant to say a lot, and that's why I'm excited to see him tomorrow, because, you know, we've heard he's got a big arm. The few times we've seen him throw the football, it appears on time, it looks good. But you just want to see it with your eyes, because talking to folks at Georgia, there was no knocks on Vandegrift. It's just his lack of reps. He needed more reps. Well, we're finally going to get to see a couple of those refs on Saturday.
All right. Well, when everybody is healthy, they've got some returning talent on the D-line, including, I mean, we don't say this very often, but Deion Walker may be the best returning lineman in the SEC?
Yeah. I think right up there with right now, if you're looking at your preseason All-American teams, it's Deion Walker and Miles Graham from Michigan. And I can safely say he's the best interior defensive lineman to ever play at Kentucky. I think he's going to be a top 15 pick in next year's draft. It's one of those where he's spending the offseason just trying to lose weight so he can play as many snaps as possible, as fast as possible, at 100%. It's kind of like Max Crosby. Most of these edge rushers in the NFL, you know, they play third down. They're not every down kind of guy. Deion's like 6'6", 350, and he's an every down guy that's lining up inside, outside, every side, doing everything. So that's really been the focus for him this offseason. I don't think he's done one lick of practice, because what does that guy need to do at practice? They're just trying to keep him healthy and make sure he's in the best shape possible to dominate the trenches next fall for the Cats.
Boy, the idea is intriguing, isn't it? With Jamon Dumas Johnson, who was a semifinalist for the Buckus a couple of seasons back, and always in that defense, you know, you free up linebackers, and he's a great one potentially anyway. That's an intriguing setup with that up front and then linebacker like Jamon Dumas Johnson.
Well, and you know, Deion gets all the attention, but the guys around him are all – juniors and seniors who were lauded four-star recruits. Like that's Kentucky's run defense is stout. They are big, and they're very experienced and as good as Pop Dumas Johnson has shown us. I mean, the guy he's next to, De'Aaron Jackson's a great run stuffer as well. So I think the run defense should be one of the top two or three in the SEC. The question is all about the pass defense, right? And it got gutted there late in the bowl game against Clemson. They had some injuries. Maxwell Harrison, he led the SEC in interceptions last year. He's an outstanding cornerback. But outside of that, you don't know what you have there. And so Jansen Dunn is a former four-star that transferred from Ohio State. He's had a great spring for the Cats, but they need more than just one guy to step up. So that could be something where Kentucky hits the portal looking for some more defensive backs here this offseason.
Nick, if you have time for one more question, just some insight here, because back before basically July of 21, the portal and name, image, likeness came together. I used to marvel at Kentucky and some of the wins, some of the punch-up wins that I thought was punch-up wins in recruiting against Ohio State in particular, you know, some of those schools. And it was Vince Marrow, and I'm like, well, that's why you're paying a tight end coach $1 million a year, because the guy gets signatures. Is Vince also involved in the college recruiting, like recruiting, you know, like in the portal, like the transfer kids, or is that other personnel in the program?
Oh, that's Vince. And that's the thing, too. They gave him the title of associate head coach because he really does do a little bit of everything there. You know, he acts as kind of an intermediary for the players and Mark Stoops. But it applies to the transfer portal as well. And I know it's not the case for every single guy, but for a lot of the big guys, Vince Merrill's very heavily involved because he's just I don't know. I'd imagine it's like this for most of the great recruiters in this sport, but it's something like the way he carries himself in a room, the way that he's got a magnetic personality that people are drawn to. And I've been there for some of the times when they're having these unofficial coach visits, and just the way people are drawn to him, it's impressive. It really is. It's a skill. It's a talent that he has that can't be taught. And it's a big reason why Kentucky's got the roster to compete with the best of the best in the SEC. Now they just got to learn how to execute on a consistent basis.
I have to imagine, yes, Mr. Marrow, your table is ready. Like, that's something he hears regularly around Lexington, like people treat him right. Nick, I appreciate you coming on today, man. Thank you so much.
Safe to say. Hey, great talking with you, Chuck.
All right, Nick Roush, Kentucky Sports Radio. Yeah, that's just what it is, man. He gets the signatures. And it was high school. He always had the reputation of when Stoops turned that thing around, and it was a slow build to where they look at it now and says, even outside Deion Walker, which if you don't know him, in particular, like, he's an interior lineman. So outside of like a guy like Aaron Donald, who, you know, blows up and get, you know, Nick Fairley did that at Auburn. You get that occasionally from tackles. Well, this guy may be the best defensive lineman in the SEC. Just a massive player, and he can be three down. He's not a two-gap, you know, guy, run stuffer only, limited, or, well, he just doesn't care. There's do y'all remember Rod Coleman? East Carolina, I think, back in the day. Defensive lineman, defensive tackle who would get sacks. Ball would be snapped. I don't know. This was just my observation. I'm sure he had other things in his bag of tricks, but ball was snapped. What I remember is ball, he'd stand straight up and go, where's the quarterback? And so he put up some sack numbers, but you're like, it's not really the full story. Like, a running back may pass shoulder pads with him with the football, and he's looking for the QB. So you can't have that. When a guy plays for your team, you get skewed. So you can't have that. He wants to be a three-down guy. And I'm telling you, top 15 pick, he said the best Kentucky defensive lineman ever. They've had top draft picks on that side of the ball sporadically about once a decade. And so that belt, I don't know if you said that at Alabama or Southern Cal, I'm like, tell me more. Or Notre Dame, I mean, really? Say it at Kentucky, there's at least, I sit back in my chair and go, well, you know. All right, we break. We wrap up. Guy, continue next on this Friday.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It's Friday on Chuck Oliver Show, and we got spring games everywhere, and it's just a full day and so many to talk about. We've done a good job today. Full up day on the Duncan Newsmaker line. We talked Arkansas in hour one with Tom Murphy from the ADG. Hogs go at it in Fayetteville tomorrow. Bobby Petrino gets unveiled, etc. So we talked a little Hogs. Just finished talking Kentucky. Our Truist reporter for UK, that's Nick Roush from Kentucky Sports Radio, coming up in, about 10, 15 minutes. Bo Bishop, that's 97.1, the Fan and C-Bus. Ohio State, big, giant, athletic, good-looking, strapping, I believe we would say, maybe. Will Howard, I guess he's the starter, but he's playing quarterback at Ohio State, so everybody there can play. So a lot to talk about. So, of course, I'm going to turn to, a sport that's not in session, and, B, is not football and doesn't even involve dudes. I think we're on the line of finding out one measure of how popular women's college basketball is now, really. Another program will come calling with fat stacks for a head coach if it's a sport that we care about. College, pro, whatever, if it's a sport we care about, that means we spend our money on it. We attend, we buy the subscription, we, you know, give them whatever we purchase for Christmas presents so that they get licensing fees. If it's a sport we care about, then we invest in it. And investing can be emotional. That's the care about it part. And you care about it so much, like, y'all know this, I'm an Auburn grad, Auburn fan. I wanted to, feel I was doing something and proving my, I'm more squared away and focused as my Auburn fandom. Before last season, I bought the Under Armour tennis shoes for the year. Like, whatever the updated 2023 Auburn tennis shoes. I was like, and I got some blue and orange tennis for game day, and I put them on. We do that. We care. We're invested, and we spend money. So when you spend money on something, then you've got the funds and you've got the following, and then you have the pressure. Because, you know, if you've never gone to a baseball game at Louisville, and then you start going to baseball and you start spending money on baseball, then you start having demands based around baseball. That could be happening in women's college basketball right now, and it may not be limited to the college level of this. What I'm talking about is somebody going to come calling with fat stacks. And in a serious way, for Dawn Staley, I want to say you can't put together a better resume than she has put together coaching a team sport, and it's basketball, and it's women. And so that will disqualify her from a whole lot of things in the coaching world, like coaching men in some people's eyes. Maybe it does for NBA owners or GMs or whoever's making the choices. Is it Becky Hammon at San Antonio. I don't know. Was she next to Pop? Has she already left? Becky Hammon, I heard 5 years ago, was like, yeah, she's an NBA coach already.
Yeah, she's with the Vegas Aces now, has won a championship out there. She's a head coach with them.
Yeah, and she was like Pop, and Pop won't leave. And so, I don't know, you either stay and wait for it, or you move on and you further your own career. But Becky Hammon, somebody who hired 5 years ago from somebody who grew up in San Antonio, is like, yeah, everybody known for years, she's going to be a next. Maybe not that one, because Pop won't leave, but maybe her, or maybe Dawn Staley. And I don't know if, you know, an NBA team sniffing around, if that's real or not. So that's what I'm saying. I'll tell you one place it was real, at least on the level, in the fishbowl of this is women's basketball. I don't know anything about Nikki Fargus, but Nikki Fargus was LSU women's head coach back in 2020 and 21, and she went 9-13. Well, she got fired, and the program then hired Kim Mulkey. Kim Mulkey had just gone 28-3 in her most recent season at Baylor, after going 28-2 and after going 37-1. And before that, 33 wins, 33, 36, 33, 30. So you see this. Kim Mulkey was an OG, had been at Baylor two decades. National champions a couple of times, three times. Piles of wins and all this stuff. So 20 years at Baylor, and LSU was like, yeah, being bad doesn't work for us. Sorry. And so that was a measure, because if you don't care about it, I'm going to tell you the history. I was talking about Pat Summitt earlier in Louisiana Tech, and I think it was Old Dominion. There are like five places where they're like, all right, well, it's a sport. Let's play it the best we can. And then everybody else got forced by the courts in Title IX. If you give scholarships to dudes, you have to give a like number to women. And so, all right, well, let's invent some sports. Let's start some sports. And so, because we have to get to at least 85 or whatever the scholarship numbers were. And so that was the attitude. Well, let's field a team. That's not where it is anymore, at least not in LSU. At least it wasn't 4 years ago, because they're like, yeah, this losing stuff doesn't work for us. Let's go get Kim Mulkey. Bam. So we're going to see, and that will be another indication of, like, okay, this, we care about it, and we're spending our money, and so we spend our money. Somebody who's not achieving has demands, and someone may demand Dawn Staley. Hey, what's up?
So a couple of endorsements that I wanted to mention here, Chuck, involving college football. One, we have another quarterback with a private jet deal. Quinn Ewers, the latest one to get that done, a deal for private air travel. So now you have Jackson Dart and Quinn Ewers that are quarterbacks in the SEC that have their private jet travel. As we talked about when Dart got this, I'm not sure who out there is interested in private jet travel that says, you know, I wasn't going to do this, but now that I find out that Quinn Ewers thinks it's a good idea, maybe I will start traveling on a private jet. I'm on my way to San Antonio today, Chuck. I will not be flying private jet. And even after considering the fact that Quinn Ewers thinks it's a cool idea, I'm still not sure I'm going to be looking to fly private jet. That's just
okay.
Me.
But here's the difference, though, I will say, in a pro athlete endorsing the PJ, is he's talking or she's talking to a crowd who may actually do it. And the purpose is to, for the company, whoever hires the pro athlete, the purpose is to sell tickets on that private jet. The purpose of the college quarterback getting the PJ is to keep him at Texas and to keep him happy and to hit a deal that the Longhorn Collective had previously agreed to. And now after this endorsement, we hit that mark. So in college, it's weird. Like, the return on investment in the pro world, it's measured in dollars. Return on investment in college is measured in wins and happy quarterbacks.
Meanwhile, I won't say the name of the cell company, but one of the lower tier cell companies is debuting a new Coach Prime branded flip phone later this month. It is a flip phone that features on the outside the words "You Gotta Believe" and the Coach Prime logo. On the inside, there's a picture of Deion in the cowboy hat from that spring game last year. Chuck, look, as a Colorado fan, he can make whatever endorsement deals he wants. But next week when that portal opens, man, we better start remembering what the big deal about Coach Prime being there was, because it certainly hasn't played out in recruiting for high school. There's only 8 kids in the class. He better be about to make a lot more news than just for cell phones next week.
Yeah, and I talked about him earlier in the week. Does he have to actually win? And I think this is another example of, at least on a lot of levels, not the dubs, not the standings, the, you know, what's supposed to count, but on another level, financially, marketing, exposure, brand, it works.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show continues on this Friday. We talk college football. Been doing it for about a decade now. Lose to Michigan. No playoffs. Blah bowl game experience. Yeah, we're Ohio State. What about any of that sounds acceptable? It's not. So we're going to find a running back to portal out of Ole Miss and a quarterback to portal out of Kansas State. We're going to get an OC to portal out of UCLA. We got players coming in. We're going to Alabama. We're getting players. And there's, like, I don't know, a couple years ago, Jimbo and Nick Saban were spatting over this. I look at it now as nice flex, Buckeyes. They have standards, and losing to Michigan three straight years? Yeah, that's not acceptable. I want to welcome on right now, man who knows all about the Buckeyes program, talks it every day, 97.1 The Fan there in Columbus. It is Bo Bishop. Bo, welcome. How are you, friend?
It's a pleasure to be on with you, sir. Yeah, you kind of laid it out. I think you wonder, like, if the $18 million transactions take place, if they don't lose the third straight time to Michigan, and if they don't lose the Cotton Bowl, because it's almost like those things had to happen for Ohio State to fully engage on the NIL front.
If we go back, you know, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, it's a normal thing to have a quarterback battle in a lot of years in Columbus. What about this year? Because I thought Will Howard was sort of a handpicked guy, but I also get reminded when I see positive comments about the other kids, either at spring practice or, oh, yeah, it's Ohio State, everybody there can play.
Well, the tricky thing, and this is my theory on it, this is my working theory, I think Ryan Day is kind of running two parallel truths. I think he's trying to keep as many of those five kids that are in the room, and you're right, they're all very talented, and including Julian Fan, who they stole from Alabama, the number one player in the country from last year at the position. I think there's some of it where he's trying to keep guys healthy and keep that room from being poached by somebody else with the portal opening on Tuesday, and I think there is some shades of truth to it. One thing that's been very interesting, Chuck, they're rolling the four quarterbacks. Aaron Olin, the other freshman coming in, is not in the mix. But they're running the other four quarterbacks. They're just rolling them through. So they're going with the ones, the twos, the threes, they're just rotating. And they've done that all spring practice. They did that this morning in the availability, which I thought was crazy. The one thing to me that was most noteworthy about it, I've been up here since 07, so Tressel, Meyer, and now Day. I have never heard a coach talk so incredibly positive about a kid who should be going to a senior prom the way that I heard Ryan Day talk about Julian Sand this week. So how much of that is Julian Sand is putting on a show, and how much of that is we got to make damn sure he stays here and doesn't go back to Alabama the way the offensive lineman from Iowa did. So I think all of those things are kind of in play. And I think coaches right now, and Ryan Day's doing it the most, he almost has to live like two realities, his actual reality and then his public reality.
I opened the program today talking about at some programs there are position groups where no matter who leaves, I say next. Somehow Marvin Harrison leaves, and I didn't even get a chance to say that. People said, oh, my gosh, Jeremiah Smith. Have you eyeballed him in person? What does this kid look like?
Yeah.
Because the reviews are in, man. He's already a Charger or a Viking or a Jet.
I'll tell you, he don't look like a freshman. I'll tell you that right away. My prediction is he will be I don't know how much they're going to let him play tomorrow in their spring game, but I believe that he will be the one everyone is talking about by the time it's done. I think they will at least do one thing with him that makes people go, oh, I get it. He's unbelievable. I mean, just so physical. Every practice, he snatches one out of the air that you go, God, an 18-year-old should not be able to do that. I had someone on their staff tell me that right now, just physical traits, all of that stuff, that they like him more than Marv, which is crazy. And I understand sometimes coaches get hyperbolic, but it's been universal in the praise of the kid, and he's going to be a factor. The last freshman that kind of got talked like this around here was Maurice Claret. That worked out very well for Ohio State, at least that first year it did. But that's the type of buzz we're hearing about Jeremiah Smith.
All right, talk about the offensive line getting settled a little bit. And in particular, talk about Seth McLaughlin at center, because we were talking Arkansas earlier, and they had a game against Auburn this past year where they gave up 354 on the ground. And, like, social media and even, like, some of the coaches, everybody just blew up at the Arkansas linebackers. So with the portal, like, they all left. They were like, screw this, I don't want to listen to this. Previously, you didn't have much choice. McLaughlin, I think, if not for social media in modern days, like, I think he looked around, he's like, I ain't hearing any more about my snapping. What's been the reviews up there?
Yeah, I think they're trying to do this thing. It's interesting what Dave's doing at the quarterback. He's kind of doing it at offensive line, too. So they've had McLaughlin bounce back. They tell us that he's bouncing back and forth between right guard and center. But he's going to be the starting center at Ohio State. Like, that's what he came here to do. That's what he's going to do. I always pay attention to who he's taking reps with. And in the limited time that I've had to observe, it's mostly been Will Howard, who I think will inevitably be the starting quarterback here in the fall. So I think he's fit in really nicely. Their offensive line was a weakness of the team a year ago. It's possible that when the portal opens on Tuesday, they could be aggressive again if they feel, especially at right guard, that they don't have that position sorted out. But he's fit in very well, as has Caleb Downs and the rest of the guys that got from Alabama.
Wrapping up, Bo Bishop. You can hear him every weekday, 97.1 The Fan, yonder in C-Bus. All right, you mentioned Caleb Downs there, and he's a stud, and there's always talent all over the Ohio State defense. So what I want to know, because in some of the, like, there was the one year, maybe it was the Oregon game, like the D.C. got demoted after week two or three.
Yeah, right.
Tell me about Jim Knowles, because there's, like I said, there's always talent over there. What about, like, how has he cracked the code? What does he do that, like, his way works? Because he showed up and it started getting better.
It did start to get better. It was a work in progress. And in year one, they were absolutely bullied by Michigan in the Ohio State-Michigan game. It got better last year, but there is heat on him to get exponentially better this year. Because of NIL, they were able to bring back Jack Sawyer, JT Tuimoloau on the defensive front. Both of those guys were viewed as second, third-round picks. JT maybe could have worked himself into the first round with some workouts. But really, I think the reason there's two names I'm going to give you, and obviously the one you know in Caleb Downs. You can know them both because you guys know what you're doing down there. But Caleb Downs coming in allows for what Jim Knowles wants more than anything, which is a sheriff on the back end of his defense. He has not had that yet. They brought Tanner McAllister from Oklahoma State year one. He just wasn't ready for the standard of play that you need to play in Columbus. And so Caleb Downs obviously has that, as we all full know. The other name to pay attention for is Sonny Styles. So last year he should have been a high school senior. His dad was Lorenzo Styles, a linebacker at Ohio State. He's a big kid, 6'5", big kid. He's dominant in the state championship game in basketball his junior year against some much bigger kids. He moved from safety to linebacker this year. And, Chuck, they are going to unleash this kid. He is going to blitz. I think he'll be used a lot of the similar way they used Isaiah Simmons at Clemson a couple years ago. I think that's kind of the blueprint for him. I think those two playmakers, the one at the second level and then Caleb Downs, obviously, at the back level, that is what is really going to unlock. That's their hope, at least, that will unlock everything a Jim Knowles defense is supposed to provide.
Do we have to wait until at least August, if not like week one, to see Chip Kelly's DNA spilled all over this?
Boy, their schedule's so trash. You know, they don't have anything till Oregon. It sucks. The Big Ten did them no favors. They don't get USC this year. They don't get Washington this year. So they got Oregon in October. That's kind of the one that you're pointing towards is that Oregon game, and that's maybe where we will know. The thing I'm curious about, one thing they're very emphatic about this year is that they're going to run the quarterback more. You do want to do that for sure. They want that threat. They didn't have it at all with Kyle McCord. But let's not be silly. You mentioned it in the lead-in. They have Travion Henderson. They have Quinshon Judkins. They have all of that talent at receiver. I don't think whoever the quarterback is, and it's probably going to be Will Howard, that he runs it more than four or five times a game. So I think he will bring back some tempo. They've talked about that, something he did certainly in his Oregon tenure because they have the athletes for it. But I'm curious as you are to see what that looks like, and I don't think we'll really know until they go to Eugene.
Last thing, Urban is back in town, part of the Fox crew.
Yeah.
I don't know, late Friday night getting in town or Saturday night after the game, he stops into a sports bar. Does he get free wings? Or does, like, everybody kind of look the other way?
Not as many. He gets some. He'll get a couple of wings, but not as many as Jim Tressel would get. Jim Tressel would get all the wings.
Really?
It's amazing. It's amazing how that flipped. The view of it now, and I think as time separates with Urban up there, I think it'll be more warm. But all of the circumstances surrounding Urban's exit were so much different than the circumstances now looking back surrounding Tressel's exit. And so Tressel is pretty much universally beloved. Urban, and this is classic Urban, and I covered him down in Florida. You either love him to death or the other. And yeah, there is some of that. He's so polarizing, even still here.
Bo, I appreciate the insight, brother. It's great stuff. Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure, buddy. Anytime.
97.1 The Fan in Columbus. Bishop and Friends. He's the Bishop part. Bishop and Friends, 9 to noon every Monday through Friday there in Columbus. And so I always wonder, you know, what's the relationship? There are places that whenever coaches either stop coaching there or retire or whatever, like there's former – Like, there are campus areas where there's three or four former head coaches that all kind of live around there just because they loved it. Urban does not live in Columbus. And so I'm always wondering, what is the pulse? What's the vibe? Heath, if I could pick your ear just a second. Like, I remember in whatever the year was, Mullen left Gainesville, and Urban had already achieved deity status there. But Mullen left Gainesville, and then it wasn't quite as good, and then it wasn't good, and then Urban quit, and then he came back, and then we started to think, Mullen left town. Did he take the offense with him? And so the on-field vision of what Urban did, the off-field stuff can always, that's always a wild card. You know, Maurice Clarett, for instance, I'm a friend of mine's an Ohio State fan. I was like, what do you think about Maurice Clarett? And because he had some sketchier moments post-career, and he's like, he won us a national championship. Like, that's literally the first, immediately he won us a national championship. I mean, I always like Maurice. It's interesting when it's off-field stuff. You don't know how loyal they're going to be or if it's something, because Maurice Clarett, what did he do? He threatened somebody, maybe there was a rental car or something or other. You know, you look at it now and go, oh, he wanted to go pro early. Well, wow, that is bad stuff, Maurice. And so I think my buddy, he's like, hey, he won us a national championship. I love Maurice. Urban Meyer's different because at Florida, it wasn't necessarily the off-field stuff like Ohio State. It was in some of the choices and whatever else. I don't think he was accused of lying necessarily or covering up. Like, it was ugly. He got suspended 3 games up there. And at Florida, it was, no, wait a minute. Dan Mullen left, and now we take a backwards look at the program. What was his input? When it's on field, that can be particularly scathing because you look at a guy now and go, it was the coordinator the whole time, or it was just the quarterback, or why didn't you get another one? Or when you have enough of a resume, you know, with this whoever 2 or 3 year quarterback, his record was, and you fill in the blank, and then you go, maybe we should fire Jeff Tedford because without Aaron Rodgers, look at him. Just a lot of layers to that reputational onion. And Urban is back in Columbus tomorrow again. Fox is doing the game. All right, we're going to break and wrap up on this Friday next.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Players have, you know, drafted teams, coaches, players, everything for that. There'll be some fan involvement in some different things, fraternity and sorority. There'll be an obstacle course. There'll be a dunk competition. And there'll be a hot dog eating competition. And Joey Chestnut will be here for that.
That's Lane Kiffin. And yes, Joey Chestnut will be on campus. There will be a hot dog eating contest. He pulls it off, by the way. Joey Chestnut, I'm not going to talk much about him. I met the guy one time, did a broadcast at the Hooters in Augusta right next to the Masters, and Joey Chestnut came by to put on a wing eating display. I guess you could have taken him on if you wanted, but you didn't want. First of all, he's normal sized, just like regular walking around human size. And I'm going to tell you, Joey Chestnut, he is about the just nicest regular dude. Just nice hangout fella. And his notoriety, he's like, I don't know. I've just been always able to put down food, and so then I can make a living on it. So Joey Chestnut's going to be there. Lane Kiffin has decided that Ole Miss, again, the Grove Bowl is the Grove Bowl games. What he was saying there, it's supposed to be April 1st. Sorry, had y'all going. No, all of that's real. you're going to have wide receiver corner skills competition, except it may be, I don't know, is it somebody on scholarship versus somebody from Phi Tau? I don't think they're going to do that. Maybe they'll limit the fraternities just to the eating contest. But as he was going through that, like by the time he got to the third or fourth one, I'm like, this is supposed to be a comedy routine. If this were on ABC at 8 o'clock on Tuesday nights, then the laugh track would have gone off. But it's not. Kentucky's going to have players in football uniforms doing things as well as additional attractions. Now, I guess it's an upgrade because last year they couldn't even have it in the stadium. They had to have it at a different facility that doesn't really need to be hosting spring game. So that's what they had. Chuck Oliver Show continues on this Friday, and we had a huge day on the Duncan Newsmaker line full up. Tom Murphy from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette as the Hogs go at it tomorrow in Fayetteville. Nick Roush, as I was just talking a little UK spring game. They've got a lot of injury issues, particularly on the defensive line, and particularly for a spring game, they have injury issues. And so, which means they probably could do some stuff, but why? So no real spring game tomorrow. Talk with Nick Roush from KSR about that. And then also our truest reporter for Ohio State from 97.1 The Fan in Columbus, Bo Bishop. And talked about the Buckeyes and some of the stuff that they may try to decide tomorrow. Wrapping up on this Friday, wrapping up for the week. Reputations of two SEC stars of yore are going in wildly different directions. If you have not heard, Shannon Sharp, credit him, man. He's figured out how to do this solo in the digital world thing. And I mean, from snap your fingers, and Shannon Sharp, like, he's getting great interviews that people are paying attention to. So he talked to Cam Newton. Cam Newton is finger pointing at Dan Mullen and Mullen's wife, some, as the folks who put the NCAA onto the pay-for-play accusation back in the middle of the 2010 college football season. Until recently, I would have filed this mostly under Cam being Cam and mostly moved on. Today, folks, I got zero hesitation taking Cam's version about Dan Mullen being a back-channel scoundrel and a sore loser. I really do. When I say that until recently, and I'll say over the past year or 2 years or 3 years, I would have probably moved on from this after going, oh, just Cam being Cam. Here's what that would have meant, Cam being Cam. Cam's just kind of goofy. He is vainglorious sometimes. He's not criminal or a bad guy in any of the ways that we think about pro athletes or NFL players that we criticize. That's not Cam. And he also won't go away, so he annoys people. But after watching him be a public figure for about a decade and a half, I think I remember him scoring a touchdown at Florida. He was number 13, and he might have scored a touchdown against Hawaii. But they had something worked out with where, Cam, you're going to be the backup this year, and this other guy will redshirt. Was it Brantley? And then the next year he'll play, and you'll redshirt. And Cam had an ankle injury or a, quote, ankle injury, whatever. So he played like way, way back. But it's been about a decade and a half of him being an in front of us all public figure. And after observing him, he's not sneaky. He's not fake. He's not anybody that I've ever heard, watch out, he'll knife you. I have a mild to now medium belief that Dan Mullen is all of those things. And Cam's opinion about how he and Auburn got in Dutch with the NCAA, it's completely in the realm of what I think Dan Mullen would do. That Missouri halftime thing was the worst of it, but I have a seriously different view about Mullen as a result of his time as head coach in Gainesville. Never really got a shot at a sniff, as far as I understand, nothing serious, until he went back to Florida where he had national championship history and folks had said, you know, when he left, what happened in the offense? Other than that, and he was not only succeeding at a place where most don't, and consistently, and year after year, and to one level, they were number one in America, that the program had never reached. And he was asking, please consider me for jobs, and it really wasn't happening. And I wonder, why is that? And they got hired at Florida. I was like, okay, all things are right. And then I started seeing things from Dan Mullen that just started changing my opinion of him. And some of it was coaching, running back use and other things. But some of it was just who he kind of was comporting himself to be. And then he got fired. Now he's in the media, and I'm sure it's a comfortable life, and he's doing well and good for Dan Mullen. I absolutely, with what I think about Dan Mullen now, I have no hesitation believing that this could be true. And I have a big resume of kind of observing and taking in Cam as well. You know what Cam is mostly? Cam's a guy that you look at and go, why are you wearing that pink hat? Like, you know, that's it. And at some point, I realized it's his money. He pays his bills. His head. If he wants to wear a hat, wear a hat. If he wants it to be that pink hat, well, I wouldn't wear it, but it, not me. And that's about as far as I'll go. He's kind of goofy. Dan Mullen, way different. All right, wraps it up now. On a Friday for the week. Appreciate everybody coming in for a little conversation. Hope you enjoyed yourself. 2 days off. Back on Monday with more.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.